Can you draw ball OCs of all of our total drama?
Oh no! I'm just gonna take the art I already did of you guys and just find like some like ball
nightmare fuel.
Except for Heather and Lindsay, who are sitting off alone. Lindsay is swatting swatting flies. Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about then.
Yep.
So, what are we talking about?
Don't worry about it.
You'll get there.
I'm worrying.
What are we talking
it's
about?
Fine.
Get there.
It's fine. Campers to the Dock of Shame podcast. My name is Matt, and joined with me are...
My name is Chris, and I think it's an outrage that the Duke's Mayo Bowl did not end with Mayo being dumped on the winning coach.
My name is Matt, and Steven Universe's real last name is the Jar of Mayo.
My name is Gabe, and Mayo.
Okay.
Who are
so
you?
What kind of is it male as in the gender or male as in
I said
like
mayo.
No,
you
said mayo.
I thought we all said mayo as in mayonnaise.
What everyone did.
Oh, I thought I heard male like as in the gender.
No. Oh,
we don't
guys,
know who you are?
Guys, before we start recording, I just
Gabe,
wanted...
I introduced myself right away.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oops.
All right, before we start recording, I also wanted to say, too, I did hear that there is a psycho chainsaw killer with a hand for a hook who does podcasts, who is out on the loose, and I heard that he has been stalking Discord calls and looking for victims, so I just wanted to warn you guys just before. Guys, what was that? Guys, what? No! Ah! 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 No! Ah! 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 Ah!
I haven't been able to keep a composure because you said hand for a hook.
he goes fishing, but he just grabs him.
You know what? I had other things I wanted to say after that bit, but I think that's a good quote. That's a good way to close that one out.
I'm dying.
Today we are talking about the Halloween special of Total Drama Island.
Did this actually come out during Halloween?
It came out in October in the United States.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I can feel my brain throb.
I don't know how to segue from that.
I think you just start
so much oxygen.
I think that you just say previously on, you know?
We got another previously on in the recap. Chris mentioned it's a race for invincibility, which just doesn't roll off the tongue like immunity does. I think it's because it's one more syllable.
And it was also bullshit.
Yep.
It's not even a real thing.
They did some wicked stunts and mentions that Heather double-crossed Lindsay and destroyed her bike. Her bike wasn't destroyed. That's just a lie.
What? Yeah, wait.
Okay. That was in the recap.
Okay.
All right.
And then one of Chris's questions was, who will renew my contract for next season? So Chris goes from last episode wondering if he'll do anything other than hosting to now, who's going to renew my contract?
foreshadowing?
He likes it.
No, like, is there going to be another season?
I don't know. Is there?
I hope so.
Me too.
I hope so. This is a good show. So the campers are all watching a horror movie because, you know, summer camp. Izzy, Duncan, and Gwen are super into it. Everyone else is a little freaked out. Lashana's yelling at them, calling them a fool couple to stop making out and start the car. I think it's Owen shouts great Canadian cheese. I don't know who else would have shouted that.
Taking a wild guess.
Yep. And DJ is established here to hate scary movies. He's cowering either in someone's lap or under a blanket, one of the two.
Yeah, he jumps onto Lashana's lap, I think.
Lashana's lap. Gwen and Duncan fucking loving it because of course they do. What did I write that specifically? Oh, the chainsaw psycho's going back into the woods. I think that was from the
yeah, Izzy's Izzy's like, ooh, the chainsaw psycho's going back into the woods. That's a good ending.
Okay. Yeah. Good ending. Izzy's very excited. She says, yeah, Izzy loves scary movies and jumps into Owen's arms. And Owen's like, so does Owen. Which is kind of cute.
But it's also the third person talk is also a little...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little grating, but I also, I don't know. It was not really explained, but oddly a nice touch considering the two of them.
Yeah.
Being very weird characters.
Yep. I mean, they're definitely like, they've been kind of like hinted as a couple, but this is like the first real episode where that's been a thing.
Right, right.
Is them being paired.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan starts taunting DJ about DJ being scared and pulls the hook out again. Everyone's laughing at poor DJ.
Mandor.
Duncan and Gwen. Mandor hand hook Cardo. We did that.
We said it.
Every time he pulls out the hook.
Okay. Duncan and Gwen start bonding over the slasher fix and talk about how gory all the ones that they like are. And Heather points out that they have that they have more in common than they thought.
Wow, I wonder if that will be a thing.
A drop in the plot future. Line.
Yeah, I think this got a lot of people into shipping these two characters. This one scene, just in general, them both being like the goth punk, edgy characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then. Yeah, that evolved into pandering to the fan base eventually, but not
a little bit, yeah.
From a but like a long ways away. But
yes,
yes, they were like, oh, you guys like this? Okay.
They're wondering what the challenge is and where Chris is, and they get to the dock, and Chef is loading up the boat, and him and Chris just kind of leave.
Yeah, they're like, hey,
very quickly,
where are you guys going?
Very quick leave. Yeah. And behind is a pamphlet that explains that an escaped psycho killer is on the loose with a hockey mask, a chainsaw, and a hook.
And or hand hook car door.
Heather very quickly goes, look, this is a stunt. We just watched a scary movie. They left behind this pamphlet to make us scared. It's bullshit. It's nothing. But if this really was a stunt, would Chris leave behind his hair gel?
Well, okay. So here's the thing. I respect that. No, not really. I fucking hate Heather. But I respect the fact that just she acknowledges that, like, okay, yeah, this isn't real. This is a challenge. But then, if she knew it was a challenge and understood that it was a challenge, why would you be, like, brushing it off and pretending it's not to be taken at least a little bit seriously if it means giving yourself immunity or something, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, like, getting into such nerd things would be such a loser thing to do. Horrible.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yes.
Who needs them?
Being a loser means that I would be eligible for immunity. Oh, boo-hoo.
Oh, boo. Duncan continues to really fuck with DJ with the hook. Lashana kind of pokes fun at him too. And DJ mentions, like, I feel like I'm being watched. And Heather's like, duh, it's a reality show. Turns out Chris is still on the island in a tent watching all of them on camera. And Heather makes a comment about next time try to rent a movie that takes place at a summer camp. And Chris said that he tried, but they were all sold out.
Shows how low the budget is for the show.
Yeah. And the bossy mean chick seals her fate because Heather decides to go away from the group and go shower on her own.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, the whole...
No. I'm just saying, like, this is exactly like you're not going to take it seriously because you think it's the challenge, and then you, at the same time, right. You're not taking the challenge seriously either.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't. Yeah. Whatever. They go back to the camp to start talking strategy. Duncan and Gwen, of course, take over because they are the horror movie buffs. And as they do, before they get there, Izzy pulls Owen away, and they start walking alone. And Owen's talking about how he ate 200 dogs at a challenge. Well, 198 actually, since
hot
two
dogs
squirted back up his
you.
Nose. Hot dogs, yes. He called them dogs.
Yeah. Fun on a bun.
Is he still talking in third person? Like, Izzy's walking in the woods, and they're still out there.
You know what? I'll take them talking in the third person, being like, "Oh, Izzy likes," instead of them being like. The Izzy likes? Yeah.
Gwen is going over the horror movie rules. 1, do not go off on your own. 2, if you do go off on your own, don't go into the woods. And 3, if you do go into the woods, never make out in the woods. Where's Izzy and Owen? Breaking rules 1, 2, and 3. That was a good bit. Owen's climbing a mountain. He kind of asks Izzy, like, does this feel wrong to you? Like we shouldn't be making out in the woods when we're in a horror movie? And then Izzy's like, but we're not making out. Oh. You want to make out? And Owen goes, yes! And then they jump into a bush together.
She grabs him single-handedly,
oh, yeah.
And he flies into the air.
Yeah, no, Izzy has the strength of 1,000 trucks. Can I just say, though, like, and I'll talk about this at the end when we do the ratings, but I haven't really laughed at many parts of this show to this point. This episode gave me, like multiple times where I actually, like, laughed out loud. And because I think that it was a lot, the Owen Izzy bits worked really well. There was, and then there's stuff at the end where we'll talk about too, but like there's some of the best writing I think took place during this episode.
It was really good.
No, it's very, very smart.
But as they're in the bush, Chef is there and he's got a chainsaw and a hockey stick. And starts to chase them.
And they're running. Hook for a hand. Almost said hand.
They're running for a really long time. And Izzy mentions that horror movies like to extend the running scenes because it gives them time to build up to a good wipeout. And then Owen falls off a cliff, repeatedly getting hit by, like, cactuses, whatever the fuck else, and then a landmine landing on a campfire at the bottom. And his response is, ow, my spine.
But it's so prolonged, and Izzy is just like bent over, like hands on knees, just like watching it from like above to just like see what's gonna fucking like what's happening to him. God,
and then she jumps off too.
I'm coming, Owen.
It was good because not only they showed basically almost all the wipeouts on camera with Owen. Then the entire thing with Izzy was off camera, but you still heard all the sounds in the correct order. And then the when the landmine went off, you saw like the night sky light up.
Yes.
A bit. It was just awesome. It was such a good scene, good sequence of just like ridiculousness, but very good.
Yeah. Chef comes back up to them and Owen shouts, "Owen's too young to die. Here, take Izzy," and then starts running, shoves Izzy into Chef, and then runs into Chris's viewing tent.
Y'all wonder why I don't like Owen anymore.
And Owen's freaking out to Chris, saying like, "Dude, there's a guy with a hockey mask, a chainsaw, and a hook." "Yeah, right there." And Owen's freaking out, and then Chris is like, "Owen, calm down, it's Chef." They got punked. Owen and Izzy are now out of the challenge because they were caught by the psycho killer. We officially get the challenge now, which is to watch a scary movie and then survive one. And then Izzy is very mad at Owen that he sacrificed her. And he's like, "Haha, for the love of Peter Pumpkin Eater." In realization that he's safe.
So, one thing that bothered me originally, I was like, why would, like, Izzy just go, like, just bring Owen into the woods? It's not like she's trying to be a dumb teenager, unlike Owen, who just forgot for, like, most of that there was the psycho killer on the loose, you know? She is, like, smart enough to be able to recognize, you know, she's putting themselves in danger, but then I realize that this is also her being smart because she knows that there's no psycho killer, but, and she knows that, like, she'll be fine because, like, she knows how to, like, handle shit. And it's much more, she wants to put Owen to the test and see how he'll react to, you know, coming into contact with a killer. If he'll protect her or if he'll, you know, try to run away with her and try to be smart.
It's like when you were on an elementary playground and you were trying to impress a girl, and so that way you would like jump from like the highest point of a playground set, you know, that sort of thing going on. It's basically like young Izzy basically trying to get young Owen to impress her in some way.
Yes, except Izzy planted the monkey bars in place and knew that this was a staple that he would be pressured into doing.
Yes.
Because Izzy is five steps ahead.
At all times. I also enjoy that Izzy, Owen then is like, when after the Peter Pumpkin Eater line is just like, does that mean that I won't get to whatever, like first base or whatever the fuck it was called?
He's like, Owen's not getting to second base, is he? First base? Is he getting up to bat? And then she just punches him.
Yeah. It's the best.
Me as a kid being like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I think that not a lot of people would know that. Not a lot of kids would understand that.
I feel like it is referenced in like so much media, even like especially kids media. And
I think it's partially just like, hey, this is what the term was when the adults writing it were that age.
Right. Yeah. Right, so. I think it just has become like commonplace. I always just think of that one Meatloaf song, which fuck Meatloaf, but like that one Meatloaf song where they actually like get like a baseball announcer. They hired him to like do like a call of a baseball game while to insinuate that the two singers were having sex. I forget what the hell the song was called. A Paradise by the Dashboard Light. That's it.
Ah.
That's that song.
We get a transition scene of Chef who's in front of the moon with the chainsaw active, kind of like he was howling that one time. Back to all the rest of the campers still at camp. Where's DJ and Jeff? And DJ had to take a leak, so Jeff went with him. They didn't go off alone, to be fair. So they're fine. DJ and Jeff are outside the bathroom, and DJ is very much trying to get Jeff to agree not to leave. And then there's an ice cream truck noise, and Jeff just runs away to get the ice cream truck.
How is Jeff not eliminated by now?
Yeah, how did Jeff, of all characters, last this long? He should have been gone out. He should have gone out with fucking Tyler. I mean, honestly, he is that level of dumb.
And in the bathroom, DJ sees Heather in a face mask. And when he realizes it's her, he continues to scream.
By the way, for those who are not knowing of any reality outside of COVID, that it is a moisture face mask, not the face mask that covers your mouth.
Yes.
You just need to clarify.
Yes, fair. Yeah, fine.
That's
good clarification.
Yeah.
Exfoliation mask.
Yes.
So he runs out of the bathroom and leaves a DJ-shaped hole in the wall and is screaming and running around the island, including underwater, and we get an extended cut of him just fucking terrified running around like this.
God, that was a great bit.
Yeah.
Just him running.
And he made it into the tent, and Heather, Chris mentions that Heather beat Chef to scaring him. And DJ was just like, bro, did you see her face? Gwen runs to check to see if anything was wrong and goes through the DJ-shaped hole. Heather's there alone, and she's just like, can I just have my shower in peace? And Gwen lets her. And then we get a psycho parody where Heather thinks it's Duncan trying to mess with her, but it's actually Chef. She screams, and then we cut to Heather in the tent now with her mask still on, terrified.
Just a real quick clarification. So is it that they can't, like, what, I mean, I know that we get to see some of it at the end, but like, is it like a, they can't run away, or they can't reach the tent is when they get eliminated?
I believe it's the last person to be caught by the psycho killer.
Okay.
Wins invincibility.
So technically speaking, if them running into the tent is them quote unquote being caught.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because they were running away from him.
Okay.
Yes.
Just making sure.
Except DJ, but.
right.
Back to the group. It's just it should have been Lashana, Duncan, and Gwen, but Lashana went to go get some chow, and Gwen is pissed that she went there. And just in the kitchen, there's just some fresh brownies just laying there. And then we hear, Lashana, Lashana, Lashana. Brownies.
This is the same voice actor who does Owen and Trent.
Can you tell?
Yeah, I can tell. It took a second watch, but I could tell.
Gotcha. After that happens, Chef appears. And Lashana shouts, I got 16 years in the projects, bring it. And then starts running from him. Still ends up losing, but she's got brownies.
Yeah, there you go.
Chris even like compliments her, like, nice call, getting like the snacks.
Yeah. Heather wants to go remove her mask because it's chafing and cracking. And DJ's like, please let her go do it. We see on the monitor that Jeff is just being nonchalantly followed by Chef. Ask him if he saw an ice cream truck. And then after that, realizes that Chef is supposed to be the killer, and he's brought in upside down, being held by the feet. Mm-hmm. By his feet. Or his ankles or whatever. And DJ chastises him. He's like, you know the rules. You never leave a brother when he's taking a leak.
Real homies pee together.
Real homies aim together.
But don't cross the streams.
Cross whatever it is.
Oh, shit.
Don't cross the streams. On the camera, Duncan and Gwen mention, well, Jeff and DJ are probably gone because the party guy is usually the target right after the big lovable jock. And DJ in confessional just goes, now she tells me.
Like, it would have helped. He would have just made him more scared.
Right. So Duncan and Gwen are the only ones left. Duncan decides to make a fire because he likes burning stuff and won't tell her why he went to juvie. I think she was like, oh, it was arson why you were in juvie. Then we hear the voice again go, Duncan, 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 juvie, juvie, juvie.
Is it ever revealed what he went to juvie for?
I actually don't remember off the top of my head.
It's for litter.
We'll find out.
I hope so. Hopefully.
Gwen comes back with water and douses it. And I do want to note that when she puts the fire out, all the X's that she made to X out all the contestants who she thought were caught are gone.
But the drawings are there?
The drawings are there, but the X's are gone.
Hmm. Weird.
Maybe the marker was what I noticed. Especially flammable.
I guess.
Or... She. The thing is, she unlocked all the characters.
Yes. Yeah. And because Duncan is not there, Gwen's just like, you know what? I'm getting a sandwich. Then we cut to Chef and Duncan, who are on the dock. This is the confrontation. Duncan decides to throw wooden things at Chef. Chef, holding a chainsaw, just chainsaws the objects. And then Duncan is able to get a fish somehow and just throws it at him.
Yeah, just like he said, he ran out of stuff to throw.
The fact that just the chainsaw is slicing through things like butter is what really got me.
That's what got me too.
But Duncan, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, and the fact that like it seemed like Duncan was surprised each time he chopped it. It was just like, dude, it's butter.
It's wood. Yeah.
But he shouldn't be able to cut it so easily.
It's a really good chainsaw.
Okay, there is a like a life vest, and he just like cuts through it like nothing. Like that should like at least gunk it up.
Yeah. So Duncan is able to grab the chainsaw and turns it back on Chef. Then we cut to the mess hall, and a different guy with a chainsaw and a hook appears behind Gwen.
It's Chef.
Well, see, the guy behind Gwen is white. We see right away.
I know, I was just kidding.
Okay.
I was just playing into the twist a little later on. I don't know if you know this, but that's not Chef.
That's not Chef. Duncan gets to the tent. He has got the mask and Chef. And Izzy points out on TV that Gwen's there. And there's, like, another dude behind her with a chainsaw and a hook. And they're like, wow, it's the real psycho killer with a chainsaw. Hockey mask and a hook.
What a quinky thing!
I'll believe hockey mask is part of his name.
I'm sorry.
I think I missed the joke. What happened?
Oh, I said his like he was a guy with a hockey mask, chainsaw, and a hook. No, it is hockey mask, chainsaw, and a hook.
I think what killed me though was just Chris being like, I don't think that's what it is, and then just Matt just, I'm sorry. That's what got me. I'm sorry.
Chris says to Chef, this could be really good for ratings or really bad for lawsuits as they're going in there.
Mm-hmm.
Gwen meanwhile thinks that this guy was hired and is like, look, I know that I know that they don't pay very well, but you should really invest in a dental plan and some toothpaste.
Damn.
And then they give the killer a confessional where he like sniffs his hand, sniffs his breath.
Oh.
Gwen has no fear. She just said, "You want a sandwich before you impale me with your hook? I know you're an actor with a hook prop." And then he takes the hook off and there's no hand there.
Oops.
Oops.
What?
Then everyone's in the doorway, and they all yell, Gwen, that's the real killer! And then she just, like, kicks him.
Like, five fucking times.
Well, yeah, she screams, and then he goes to attack her, and it just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. And then someone else could probably do the voice better than I could.
Oh! That really hurt.
I was treated way better in prison.
I was treated way better in prison.
So this psycho killer, actual real one, murderer, gets kicked in the face by a 16-year-old, and then was like, I was treated way better in prison, and leaves.
So, I was laughing so hard at this one. It's so absurd.
DJ fainted, by the way.
Of course.
But because she was the last one, and because she, like, actually did something to an actual psycho killer, she gets invincibility. And we cut to the voting ceremony, and it is DJ, who is now walking the dock. The explanation was that even though he didn't even have a confrontation with the killer, he was still the coward, the most cowardly, and they decided to vote him off this
time. Okay, yeah, I will say, like, I enjoyed this episode overall, but once again, not to nitpick every single elimination that this show provides, because at this point it's absurd, but, like, it feels like the plot point that they were building upon, where the guys had this solid four that they were building towards, like, that was a very prevalent part of at least a few episodes, just got completely tossed aside.
Doesn't matter anymore. I don't think it's ever mentioned again either.
It's like, what do you mean? It's like, and they're like, oh yeah, DJ's too scared. Bye. And it's just like, okay, cool. Yeah. I guess fine. I mean, it's
Duncan's
better.
Like, well,
it's better than, I guess, than the Lindsay elimination, but it's still like, all that plot just poof, gone away. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part about Total Drama, when they build up something and then it just goes, doesn't do anything.
Just nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's my favorite part, but I understand.
As DJ's leaving, we hear the voice again go, total, 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 drama, 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 island, island, island. And it's the fucking psycho killer just watching the elimination, and then he like goes and turns and he's like, ow, that really hurts. Is it bleeding? That's the episode.
So
I like how in the DOC of shame, you wrote what the fuck right after that.
I wrote what the fuck because it was such a weird ending.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that was Hook, Line, and Screamer.
Mm.
So
the Halloween special, I guess.
So, this episode implies that Chef and Chris saw an actual, like, newspaper story that was like, oh, there's a psycho killer on the loose with, like, a chainsaw and a hook. And then they were like, hey, you know what'd be funny? And they did all of that, and then they left behind, like, the real newspaper and just to, like, scare them. And then the guy ends up showing up anyway. And, but the guy has also been paying attention enough that he was the one whispering the entire time. So he was listening to Gwen and Duncan's conversation about Duncan.
Yep.
Juvie. And unless he's just a big fan of the show.
And also with the brownies.
Brownies. Did he bake the brownies?
Did he bake the brownies?
Because even Chris was surprised. He was like, ooh, nice.
He's a really kind killer at heart. He wanted just to go to culinary school, and then his life got a little off track with the killing and stuff.
Life got... go ahead.
I also did think that it was funny that he and Chef had the same silhouette.
Of course.
Well, that was the point, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, no, that was the joke.
Yeah.
The joke.
This has also been another episode in which Chef has not talked. This is brought to you by Chef Watch.
Which is wild, because he's a major part of the episode.
It's just Chef in his hockey mask just going across the screen a bunch of times.
People being like, what? Well, Chef couldn't talk. Maybe his voice actor. This was a DJ episode.
we're going to have interviews. We're going to have sit down interviews with people with knowledge of the situation to find out the
truth. If we could fucking get like a voice actor from this show, that would be fucking wild.
Matt, I have a surprise.
I don't think we can, but who would like to start with their rating?
Hold on, wait.
Before we do rating, I know we were talking about voice actors on the show, and Matt, do I have a surprise for you? Look who just joined the call.
Oh my god.
Who's there?
Who is it, Chris?
It's the psycho killer with the chainsaw and a hook that nearly killed Matt earlier.
No!
He has a nice smile.
Yeah.
I don't know what Grodin was talking about. So I'll start.
Okay.
I love your work, Mr. Chainsaw and Hook. I'm actually gonna give this a 9 out of 10. I know this is absurdly high. I probably should rate it more like 8.
What's in your heart.
My heart's saying 9 because this was the first episode that I like really genuinely enjoyed, and I only knock it for once again an absurd elimination. Because other than that, like, I felt like all the characters had something in this episode to really hang their hat on. I just felt like the premise was very, very much fit the setting of the summer camp. It was campy at times, but it worked. And I thought that it was really one of the best episodes when it comes to writing. And so 9 out of 10.
Cool.
Can I'll
go next? Oh, unless you want to.
No, it's...
I was...
It's okay.
No, do you want to go?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
Now all I need is a hook and a chainsaw and -1 hands. You better look out.
I'm going to give this episode an 8. Really good premise. Really like the whole scene. It was nice to see some, like, we haven't had a lot of, like, Owen or Izzy scenes in a while. Especially not Izzy. Izzy hasn't, even though Izzy like came back to the game, it still hasn't felt like we've seen a lot from her.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciated that. I wish DJ got a better send off, but it fit his character at least. And the idea of, oh, we're voting this character off because they're weak at something at this point in the game doesn't make sense reality TV wise. Because you want to have the weaker players around when you're in an individual game. Mm-hmm. So, otherwise, like Chris said, laughed a lot. Really fun episode. 8 for me.
I'm gonna give this episode a 10.
Hell yeah!
And I do agree. I think DJ could have gotten a little bit better of a send off, but I think at the end of the day, even though he is this like lovable guy, and it was a little bit two dimensional to just focus on just his fear this entire episode, the bits of just him being scared, whether it be him leaving a cartoonish outline where he runs or running everywhere, even underwater screaming, it was just very fun. I think they utilized everybody very well. I think them, you know, you got to see every character I think at some of their best, and a lot of the gags I really enjoyed. So I think for those reasons, I'm feeling very nice today. I'm gonna give it a 10.
Cool. Gabe,
I'm gonna give this episode a 1 because it's the fucking shittiest thing. No, I'm kidding. I'm gonna give it a 10.
Oh, 10. Wow, okay. Cool.
Wow.
Well, that made editing it real quick easy. You put the 1 in there, and then you just add the 0. It's all good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. why a 10?
It was a really good episode overall. Like everyone else, just me. Good points, so I don't really have any much more to add.
Very nice. Walsh, whisk us away.
All right.
Land of worlds.
Is this the highest rated episode?
This actually, it did pass, if you can't take the heat, for the highest rated episode with an average of 9.25.
What was your rating again, Matt?
Mine was an 8, so I was 8. The lowest on this one.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Okay. I have one.
Okay.
So I realized that the episodes get weirder as the show goes on. So here we're going to jump to, I do believe this is season 2. Yes, season 2. Oh no, I lost it. Where did you go, little guy? There you are. Season 2, episode 28, episode 79 overall. This one comes in from Miles Smith. Thank you, Miles. This episode is titled, Dude Wears Macaw.
Okay.
So the last word spelled M-A-C-A-W.
Like the bird.
Yeah, like the bird. Like yeah. The bird.
Dude, mm-hmm. Where's Macaw? After Harold and Duncan accidentally see Chef playing an old game called Macaw Wash, and used to be an old champion of the game, they challenge Chef to play a name game called Pain Apple against the reigning champion of the game, Beth.
There were so many words and puns in that one sentence.
So, Chef is an old champion of the game, Macaw Wash.
Macaw Wash.
And so they want to pit him against the champion of this new naming game that Beth is great at called Pain Apple.
Pain Apple, yeah.
And yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It makes my brain hurt.
Oh shit! Holy shit! What the fuck? I jumped to the okay. So I've now made a habit of jumping. I've jumped to the Total Dramarama, you know, fandom wiki, just to see if I can get a little bit more. This is the one sentence summary. While trying to defend his elite gamer status, Chef uses an old cheat code that brings a dangerous avatar to life.
What the fuck?
Bro. That is wildly different than the first one that we got. That is not even close.
I mean, I've never seen
to
it.
What we were expecting.
I didn't even think
Wikipedia,
of the game.
Wikipedia, you can't lie to us like this.
I didn't even think of the game as like being a video game, and oh my god.
I just, it slowly started to hit me that, like, we're talking Chef as, like, elite gamer status, like, fucking, like, just the Mountain Dew cans out, fucking Monster Energy drinks, fucking, you got the big old PC rig, like, sitting at his computer. I can't, man. I can't.
One thing I love is on the Total Dramarama fandom wiki page for when you're on a page for the episode is they have it, you go to gallery and it is almost like picture by picture every like few seconds of like what the episode looks like and then a quick like one sentence summary of what is happening, and there is one that I think is it's almost near the end and it's just Chef being very like sad. And it is, Chef considers his gamer days to be great while they lasted. yeah, from now on, I'm always checking over here.
I want to know, I want to know, like, who does Chef start in main? Oh my god, what the fuck did I just say? main in Smash.
I don't like, know, but the avatar that he has brought to life is this humanoid pineapple with sunglasses and robotic arms and legs.
I'm assuming that's pineapple.
It is the pineapple.
I can only assume, yes.
Just reminds me of that one episode of a regular show with the cassette tape with the fucking sunglasses.
Oh my god.
Oh god, why did this show fall? Like, I mean, I'm kind of starting to see the signs even by just watching this fucking fucking soldier from Ireland, but where? What? It has such fallen so far from grace.
Chris, I haven't heard you laugh that hard since Joe Mama.
There's just things, super shit like that just tickles my funny bone. I think that's why I enjoy this whole episode.
Yeah. This has been the Dock of Shame podcast. Go protect your elite gamer status, and we'll see you next time.
The Dock of Shame podcast is brought to you by Team Chaos Productions. Find us on Twitter @DockofShame and find more of our work at Team Chaos Pods.